Morning. For those of you for whom my face is a little new, my name is Leanne Ketchum. I am usually hanging out with our youth, making sure we only get into moderate amounts of trouble, but it is a joy to be with you all this morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for your word and how it continues to be a sign to us of you coming once again and again to show us your love. We thank you for this community that, again, is a sign of your love to us. We pray this morning that we might hear from your Holy Spirit through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How long do you wait before a slow arrival turns into just not coming at all? How long do you wait? If you've ever sold anything online, perhaps through Kijiji, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, perhaps you have been in the situation when they said they would be there at 7, it is 7:15, 7:30. How long do you wait before being slow means just not coming at all? Maybe I'm the only one who's experienced that. I certainly hope so. It is no fun to be stood up. But how long do you wait on God when it feels like the slowness of God's arrival makes you wonder if God is ever coming at all? 38 years in the case of the man in our text today. Now, we don't get the full story on him, and we rarely do in Scripture, but he's been sick for 38 years. He must have had a family at one point. Perhaps when he had fallen ill, they tried to care for him. Perhaps they prayed. Perhaps it was a time and they said, God is slow, but he will be healed, they thought. But as time went on, perhaps they gave up. He wasn't getting any better. Perhaps the thought crossed their mind, God is slow, or maybe God's just not really there at all. Perhaps his family members whispered as he slept, throwing furtive glances his way. This was too much. He was too much. The care costed too much. And so perhaps they sat him down in the morning and explained it all to him. We can't help you anymore, they said. So it's time that you helped yourself. Maybe they said, there's a pool called Bethzatha, and there's a rumor that an angel will stir the waters, and if you're the first one to get in, you might be healed. We cannot help you anymore. Maybe God can, but it's time for you to help yourself. And so he was left at the pool of Bethzatha with the other invalids, the other rejects, the ones who were deemed unproductive or useless, the ones deemed left behind by society, the other ones who were waiting. The wisdom of Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And the hundreds of people that would have surrounded these pools were experts on sick hearts. You can hear the despair in this man's voice when he responds to Jesus' question of, do you want to be made well? It's the despair, not hope, that bubbles up like a volcano from him. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And when I even try, someone else gets there first. Somewhere along the line, 38 years of waiting on the slowness of God started to feel like the absence of God, and so maybe he just needed to try to heal himself. We might be familiar with trying to heal ourselves. Heck, there's whole sections at Indigo called self-help. Sometimes we might do it playfully through the power of prayer or by trying new practices in our life. Other times, trying to help ourselves to healing looks a little bit more like numbing behaviors or destructive coping mechanisms that turn into addictions. And the irony of this moment is this man stands before Jesus, the great physician, the one who can heal him, and talks about the water and how the water is silent. It would be similar to us going before a world-renowned doctor and recommending our own treatment. Because the truth is, it is exhausting to try to heal ourselves. And the despair in this man's response proves it. No matter how hard he tries, no matter how many years pass by, no matter how many attempts he has to try to get into the water, he can't do it. And in that despair, Jesus meets him on this mat, in the place where he has lain for so long, and asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" And he pronounces him healed. The miracle is right in front of him. Here is Jesus, loving him, freeing him, seeing him, healing him. Will he stand up and walk? Or will he just keep looking at that silent water? "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." They were words that he had waited 38 long years to hear. But now that he heard them, can he live with this miracle? It is risky to accept a miracle. If he gets up, he will have to make new choices. He will have to build new relationships, find new friends. He will have to find work. He will have to go to temple. He will have to rebuild a life or build a life anew. It is risky to accept a miracle. But Jesus came to this man and healed him. A sign of the love that God has for all of us, coming to us to heal us. It is a great risk to accept a miracle. Will you get up? I'm in the season of my life where most of my friends are having babies or trying to have babies. A dear childhood friend of mine, she's been married now for several years, and she and her husband have been trying to have a child. After the first miscarriage, there were tests. After the next couple, there were more tests. After the next few, there was in vitro. And after the next couple, there was nothing. And then a miracle came, in the form of a surprise adoption. It wasn't exactly what they thought they were waiting and watching for, but there it was. The miracle, the child that they had prayed for. A handful of years ago, I was going to a new church. I was new to a new city, and three people invited me to the same church in 1 week, so I thought I should go. I know a lot of people think that when we show up to church, we look like we have it all together, that we are supposed to be all shiny. And I'm sure I tried to put on a brave face that morning and put my best foot forward meeting new people, but the real story is that I was a total mess, and I'm sure I slid in the pew a few minutes late, and the pastor had started talking, welcoming the congregation. He said, "I know you hear this message every week, so it might feel a little bit repetitive, but it's easy to forget. Throughout the week, you get a lot of messages. Messages that say, you will not be loved until you are rich enough, pretty enough, strong enough, till your marriage is fixed, till your family looks different, until you get that new job. And we want to tell you that that is a lie. That in Jesus Christ, God has decided for all time that you are loved now, forgiven now, healed now. And we call that grace." It wasn't the miracle that I had been looking for, but it was the miracle that I needed. And this is the miracle that Jesus invites us to live into now. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk in the miracle. You do not have to heal yourself, for that miracle of new life has already been given to you. But it is time to get up and walk. In the healing miracle of God's love for us, we are called out of a barely there existence of despair into new life, into new hope, an empowerment to love others as God has loved us, to see those that the world has forgotten, and to go towards them like a first aid worker with God's love. You do not have to heal yourself. In Christ, that miracle has been done. You are loved now, forgiven now, enough now. So get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Amen.